Hello, everyone. Welcome to You Are Loved in Christ. Speaker Theoana L. Canders. Topic, Proving the Biblical Basis of a Just God's Characteristics. Are you unbiased? In today's topic, we will be dealing with speaking about the attributes of God, which are God reserved certain attributes, and then there's others which deal with the gifts from the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit that are from God, the Holy Spirit, which God extends to us to use. Also, walking in holiness and extending grace to others, God's graciousness, extending grace to others. It's also one of them, and how we can use the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, along with the commandments of the Ten Commandments of God in order to flowing together the fruits of the Spirit, the commandments of God, and the gifts of the Spirit in order to walk out the fullness of negating biases. Because we want to make sure that we as Christians and we as communities are able to, while we see events taking place in the world and we recognize those events are taking place and happening, and some of them are very, you know, surprising to some who have never experienced the events before, and also dealing with just, it can be, you know, overwhelming for some. And we want to make sure that we're not linking ourselves into negativity. So I will get into that later on, because it's easy to do. And we have to make sure that we pull ourselves back and that we're not in the midst of the biasness or the negativity that is taking place. So let's get started. I'm going to name the actual attributes of God himself, some of God's attributes that are God reserved. And I will explain what that means in a second. And that will be aseity, which is A-S-E-I-T-Y. Which is the property by which a being exists in and of itself, from itself, or exists as so and such of and from of. Meaning God was not created by anyone. God was always there. He was before, he is now, and he will forever be. He is eternal. That goes into the next one, which is eternity. Man cannot say that he has the characteristic or attribute of aseity. He doesn't. We didn't just arrive. God created us. Eternity, infinite or unending time, meaning for infinity. God created the planets, the universe, and the universe is infinity. Yes, we have a right to eternal life, but we did not create infinity. That's not something that we created. Graciousness, which is one of God's attributes. It means excellence of manners or social conduct, good manners or courteous. And God does expect for us. Those are one of the attributes of God that he extends to us. For us to be gracious to others and extend grace to others. Then there's holiness. The state of being holy, to agree with what God agrees with and disagree with what God agrees with, sanctity. That goes into the Ten Commandments. We're going to agree with the Ten Commandments and anything else that comes against the Ten Commandments and all other principles biblically, then we are going to denounce that or disagree with it. So holiness is another attribute. But aseity and infinity, no, God created eternity. We don't have that power. When we accept Jesus Christ into our life, We are then saying we do have the gift of eternal life. Asiti, we did not create ourselves, so we can't own that. Immanence, the hypostasis, the Trinity, which is the Trinity of God. Only God has that. We don't. The immanence, the hypostasis of God, the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have access for the help from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. They're all three persons, but as one. That's when we're getting into the ousios and the hypostasis, hypostasis, and a hypostasis, hypostases. Impassibility describes the theological doctrine that God does not experience pain or pleasure from the actions of another being. We don't have that gift. God does. Impassibility? Oh no, we don't have that gift. We can do that at times, but God does it in excellency. He doesn't like to see human beings harmed. Yes, when we are hurt, God hurts. When we're happy, God is happy. God has emotions. He does. He has emotions. But God does not pleasure in seeing others harmed, hurt, any of that. He doesn't operate in selfishness. He doesn't, operate in jealousy, triedness, oppression. He's not a God of that. Impeccability means without sin. That means that God is sinless. We are not sinless. We don't possess that. We don't have that. We're not perfect. We're striving as disciples and disciplers to walk in holiness. And we are to extend grace as we're doing that to others. The other attributes of the other characteristics of God deals with what he extends to us as a people. And that has to deal with the rational structure or logos, complete centeredness, creative freedom, a possibility for self-actualization, an ability for transcendence, which deals with the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, which is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Gifts of the Spirit that God gives to us is administration, apostleship, discernment, encouraging or exhorting, evangelism, faith, giving, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, pastor, prophecy, teaching, serving, showing mercy and wisdom. And I have all of those as gifts of the Spirit except for apostleship. Tijuana Elkanders has all of those gifts. And I walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Your loved in Christ is a platform that is powered from the Holy Spirit and from the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. As we begin to realize what the attributes of God are, plus the characteristics of God that he extends to us, which are the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, to walk in holiness, and to extend grace to others, to be courteous, to have good manners of excellence, high ethics and integrity. Then we're able to take those coupled with the Ten Commandments, walking all of them out in unison in order to negate the barriers of biasness and to help us throughout our life period to walk in community strongly in a more positive aspect and to optimistically, when issues arise or matters arise, be able to work through those together instead of apart from one another. And in a more mature way, instead of oppositely thinking negative or walking immaturely, which will cause more issues and problems to arise. When we speak about church culture and how to infiltrate it improperly into personal culture or community culture, church culture, which this subject on church culture is going to provide the biblical basis of God's justness towards others and his characteristics. So we have the three, we have the commandment, we have the characteristics of God that God has extended to us, which are the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and then we have God's attributes, of which I just explained what those are. So God is extending the characteristics of himself to us. Gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. He endows us with those. And then we have the Ten Commandments in order for, as I said before, we as a people to be able to infiltrate those in unison into church culture and to negate biases and any other strife that we have to deal with. Or to help us along our daily pilgrimage in life. There's things that we deal with daily and we have to be able to go back to the Word of God or go in prayer. And like this morning, I got up early to go in prayer to revise and re-speak this podcast because I need to make sure that things are done in excellency when I'm giving to the people. And I want to make sure that it's rooted and it's grounded and it's understandable to the point to where it can impact church culture and it can impact communities across the board, not just with biases, but across the board of everyday life. If they need joy, if they need peace, if they want better relationships, if they want healthy relationships, if they want healthy spiritual growth and for spiritual formation in their lives, and if they want to understand their social culture aspects better in life, I need to make sure that your love, I as a speaker and any other contributing speakers that are coming in are able to implement that into the lives of others greatly from the platform. So, church culture is our systematic belief system in which we use to teach others how the church should interact within community. Mainly for growth is the belief system used. It is the personality of the church. Some things, however, are adapted through trial and error. What works with the community and what doesn't. Dominant ideas and worldviews shape our culture. In this podcast, we will look at the positive and negative effects of church culture and factors for vibrant church culture. One of the positive effects of church culture is interaction. We are meant to develop long-term relationships and to be interactive people with each other. God provides this with instructions to fellowship and come into prayer often to build each other spiritually. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That comes out of Hebrews 10th chapter, 25th verse. The second positive effect that can be found in church culture are sounding boards. Extending wisdom, advice, and constructive criticism are needed for the building of the church body. I turn my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom in the scheme of things. This comes from Ecclesiastes 7 chapter 25 verse. If wrong mistakes can be avoided, no matter the status or age, then the healthier the church body will flourish in culture. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. That comes from Proverbs 11 chapter 14 verse. Constructive criticism through advice or even exhortation is proven to flourish the souls of others. The third positive effect found in church culture is revelation. As the church comes together in fellowship, the Holy Spirit brings strong, fluent revelation and impartation that He uses through us as believers. Church culture is all about giving and receiving, so much so that it is found even in salvation. We receive Jesus into our hearts and confess that we are sinners, then we are given eternal life. Nowhere in history, nor all of God's creations, have there never been a give or take exchange for revelation, resources, or ideas. When the culture of the church is on one accord, no, the Holy Spirit cannot be hindered from His work, but we hinder His presence from fully penetrating us to give fully to others. The negative effects of church culture is the second part. So the negative effects of church culture start with non-biblical impartations. If teachings taught are not properly applied from the Word of God, then this can lead to confusion and an upset to church culture. It is important to apply research findings, theological concepts, and personal beliefs to the Bible. God gives revelation through His Word. Applying avoids the matters of disillusionment, divination, and eventually spiritual apathy. Applying the Word of God and dividing the Word of truth avoids the matters of disillusionment, divination, and eventually spiritual apathy. The second negative effect of negative effects of church culture are hurting sounding boards. Individuals who are hurt impart wrong information to other people. This causes the church culture to become brittle and break down. Unfortunately, some in church have been hurting so long themselves that they cannot recognize when the wrong advice or wisdom is being given to an individual. Again, applying the sounding board's advice to the biblical word is best to decipher if the wisdom or advice should be used or not. Church culture produces whatever is applied to it. Wrong perceptions. Wrong perceptions is the third negative effect of church culture. How we see church culture are normally from personal experiences outside the church. Life experiences, relationship experiences, any type of experiences outside of the church, or from a negative experience within the church. Wrong perceptions can also be imparted through non-biblical impartation from hurting sounding boards. Church culture, if properly applied, can heal all three areas for vibrant culture in church. Now I'm going to offer three factors to help with the negatives. They are solutions for the negative effects of church culture. So factors for vibrant church culture in church. One would be demographic. Where does God biblically state a church should be placed or begin to be vibrant in church culture? Are Bible truths based off how God can use a church according to this question. I can most positively say yes. God uses a church strong in culture who is obedient to his direction and voice. Read Deuteronomy, all of chapter 28. That is our answer. God is known for using people, places, and things in a big way from small beginnings. When we base our truths from the mind of God through his word, then we will not fail. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us to demographically prosper according to where he tells us to be. In this way, we resemble the truths of God and not the world. The second factor for a vibrant church culture and church is psychological. Psychological healing, I believe, is needed to build a vibrant church culture. Not everyone we meet or who sits in a pew next to us is going to tell us that they are hurting. Often we hide behind masks. Only as we know, God is smarter and wiser than our cover-ups. The subject of love, forgiveness, and unity needs to be talked about constantly to heal the church, to heal people. Psychologically, people are messed up because they have received the wrong information, have never learned confidence in church community and grace, or have been listening to the wrong sounding boards. Healthy thoughts produce healthy environments through our faith. Whatever we believe or perceive is normally what stays in our lives, including our church communities. The third factor for a vibrant church culture is sociological. And as we come into faith to know where God wants us demographically and know what areas we are psychologically hindered in, then we can observe sociological factors that could affect church culture. Sociological factors that could affect human behavior are family life, violence in the home or on TV, weak or strong social ties, socioeconomic status, education, poor social influences, and religion influences. And when I say education, I'm talking about positive. Some of the things that I listed can be positive or negative. And those sociological, like watching TV, some people watch positive things on TV. Education, it depends on what type of education. Is it sound? Most time and majority of times it is, not unless someone is slipping something into the curriculum that is a personal idea, not objective to the teaching. Poor social influences and religion influences. One who can cause, those are the last two of those sociological factors. So let me read them again because I wanted to clarify that. Because these are solutions. And I'm talking about sociological factors that could affect human behavior. Some could be family life, positive or negative. Violence in the home, we know that that's negative. Or on TV, weak or strong social ties. Socioeconomic status, education, poor social influences, and religion influences. One who can cause a person to overcome these effects of human behavior is Jesus. Jesus is the center. In the beginning, there was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. That's who they were talking about. And Jesus is also love. He is the glue. He is the center that holds it all together. And how much more do we need agape love, unconditional love to help us and the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in unity to deal with these issues? One who can cause a person to overcome, of course, it's Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us strength. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the center for this. Jesus can give good human behavior, and not because of social control, but because of his faithfulness and our obedience. Our obedience to use the fruits of the Spirit, to exercise the fruits of the Spirit and our gifts appropriately, along with obedience to God and and his principles. Taking that and implementing that appropriately into relationships, our communities, our church culture, our, into our daily walk. We even have negative thoughts about ourselves. That's why it's important to know the Word of God so that we can apply I like to use mindfulness, and it's just something I do. And I stop the thought and I replace it with positive thoughts. So whatever's running through my mind, I immediately stop it. I go find a positive thought. I make myself think a positive thought, and I get scripture and I apply scripture into the truthfulness of what God has to say about the situation and about me and my personal thoughts. And I begin to, you know, think that and walk that out immediately. That's what mindfulness is. That's a psychology term. So there's scripture about that biblically as well, to think on whatever is noble, pure, holy, righteous. That's scriptural. Trials are mercies in disguise. Jesus holds us in everything we do. Jesus saves us. When we are healed in the first two areas, then we can perform well in the sociological factor to be used as an instrument to bring church culture into healthy sociological movements divinely set up by God. I want to go back a little, because I don't want individuals thinking that trials are a mercy to me. No, God gives mercy. So I want to clear that theology aspect up in this podcast, in the revisement of this, because individuals need to know that God gives mercy, God gives grace, and we are to extend mercy and grace to others. But what I should have said there was that during our trials, God gives a ram in a bush. God does give mercies. God does give grace, and Jesus Christ extends that to us. So within those trials, grace and mercy is there for us. Deliverance is there for us. So Jesus holds us in everything we do. Jesus saves us. When we are healed in the first two areas, then we can perform well in the sociological factor to be used as an instrument to bring church culture to healthy sociological movements divinely set up by God himself. This is all about God and what he wants. It was never about how large or pretty our parishes are, but about the love of Jesus Christ, about souls. So how do we handle Unity World issues? What we see is disappointing, but our faith should not be in the cares of this world, but only what God has spoken in his word. Things are going to get worse because God promises to bring all that we see to an end in order to establish his kingdom. So what do we do as Christians as we witness very relevant issues happening today? We must stay one. We must stay rooted and grounded in the truth. Step one, we must stay rooted and grounded in the truth of what God has to say about unity. Sometimes we go astray, and the best way to deal with that and to deal with the biases is to have Jesus as the center, use our gifts of the Spirit appropriately, and exercise them appropriately in office, in a community, in a church culture, and even towards ourselves. And I mean, it's for the people, but what I'm saying is we have to be careful, and I'll deal with that later. That has to deal with pride and different things of that nature. I'm not on that subject yet, but I will just say that we have to exercise the fruits of the Spirit, our offices appropriately, which are the endowed, which God has, the Holy Spirit has endowed us with gifts, along with the walking in the commandments of God in order to implement unity in its fullness. Unity brings peace. It brings, of course, tranquility. It brings, I don't want to use the word tranquility. I want to use it. It causes a unification or togetherness in order to live together regardless of how individuals feel about one another. And it's a strong tool, the fruits of the Spirit, and walking in the offices appropriately while being mindful and walking out the Ten Commandments in unison are very powerful tools, especially with the fruits of the Spirit. Because even when we're off track with disobedience, and we just know are able to be strong in the fruits of the Spirit, and also in our offices of the gifts from the Holy Spirit, then we're able to get back on track. We're having a bad day, we're able to bring up the fruits of the, we're able to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and the whole atmosphere changes. Our attitudes change, how we deal with people change. It negates, it moves the biases out the way. It causes us as individuals to extend grace and mercy to others and justness to others. I read something in the MSN news yesterday that Republicans refuse to come into unity with President-elect Biden, who is now President Biden soon in one more day once he's sworn in, that they did not want to come into unity. Well, I'm going to discuss that. That's a bias. Because I'm a Republican who voted. I'm conservative, but I voted for President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris. I vote for Democrats and the Republicans alike on my ballots. I do. I research and I look and I listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit on who I shall vote for. And it's unfair to place all Republicans as a false transference in the same boat. It's not fair to me and other Republicans. That is wrong. And I'm waiting for a president to address that one day. To say, you know, this is not right. That's just like saying I was raised in an orphanage by nuns and later at a Methodist. By the Methodists. They both were orphanages. They both were. I don't have the time to go through that. They both were. That's unfair to say that just because my stepfather from Africa, Sierra Leone, West Africa, which I've never exposed this on a podcast, molested some girls in the home, raped all the others in the home, and got my sister pregnant twice. The first baby was aborted in America, and the second baby, they went to Africa. I'm sorry, they fled the country. No, the first baby was aborted. Then the second baby in Africa, they claimed the cord was wrapped around the neck. But in all actual reality, I really have a niece that's in Africa. She's in Sierra Leone, West Africa. I don't know where she's moved now. She's now an adult. He slaughtered and beat my sister. He abused her from 18 months to 17 years. I'm sharing this because I'm healed and I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. If I had never shared this, no one would ever know that I've been through this experience. But do I drag a false transference of all Africans in other nations to say that all Africans are abusers? No, I do not. It's wrong. It disturbed me so bad when I saw that in the MSN news yesterday. It disturbed me so bad I turned off all my electronics and went to bed. I didn't even want to look at another electronic. It's causing strife and problems for journalists and individuals that have the power to write and author, to place anything carelessly in the news and in the tabloids. Why didn't they put on the headline some Republicans? Why would you put Republicans and group them all into the same group? And we have people who claim they're journalists or have degrees from journalism, and they won't even speak this, what I'm speaking. They want a platform so bad they'll steal and be trodden, but they won't take their degree and use it for the good that God gave them for. If you got a degree in journalism, why are you not using your degree in journalism to look through the tabloids to see the negativity? If you claim you're an activist, to negate the strife of journalism, your fellow journalists using this information for bad instead of good, to better society and cultures and communities. Instead, they're writing to create civil wars. Bad transferences. People like Tara Caressa Hodges has the ability to take information and speak that, but won't. But she was trotting to rip down my platform. With Robin Compelling at the wheel, along with Angelique Forbes and everybody else. These are people who are Christians, and so they say. But they tried their best. You don't understand what I went through in the spring, in the summer, and the fall. They almost killed me. And I won't go into how they did it. And use some of their Black Lives Matters group to try to do it. This person claims that she has journalism and this and this and that, but she won't use it for the good to really help people. Only surface to be seen. Talking about everything else under the sun, except for the truthful aspects of how journalism should be used. If I was her, I would have written a book on it by now. But yet, she wants to steal from my platform as though she does the work, and it's not her work. Every podcast I speak in, from archives, which are some of the archives that I'm using today, are copyrighted at the copyright office. They are also protected by Twitter and Facebook for infringement. I know I talk about this a lot, but shame on those that can't follow the true character of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and many more who exercise this ministry as I do, but with their own blueprint. They complimented one another, not complimented with their mouths, not just complimented with their mouths. Their ministries complimented one another. They were side by side. They weren't trodden. They didn't come steal. They weren't plagiarizing. They weren't trying to pump themselves up every time you do something on your timeline. They want to go do mimic the almost the same, which I don't care about that. That's too immature. I will walk in the fruits of the Spirit. I will not name call. I will not seek you out and try to do the same thing you're doing. That's crazy. It's not authentic. And then the real fruit and oil can't pour from you or from me. I need the alabaster oil. The balm of Gilead. I need the authentic, true oil from God pouring from me. I see him pouring oil now. Tons of it on me. Sometimes I discern that in the spiritual realm when he does that. I can see that in the spiritual realm as a prophetess, as a seer. Someone, that's what I will get into that later. Then let's deal with the issue of my daughters. One summer, their hair was being made fun of from another culture. I've seen it often in New York City, how they make fun badly of African-American girls' hair. And I was sitting at the train station, and one person walked up to my daughter and said to her, they had ponytails in their hair. Is that your real hair? While the other girl twirled her real curly hair. It was a group of girls. And I politely said to them when they got done, my daughters answered politely, no, these are ponytails we put on top of our hair. And I politely said in the midst, once I heard everybody speak, I was there, my son, my baby Rose, and my two daughters, Bethany and Ruth. And I politely interjected, oh, well, yes, Cardi B wears extensions and it looks nice. Beyonce and Jennifer Lopez. And because girls need to know, even the ones that were being negative and the ones that were being, my daughters who responded positive and myself, they need to know that there are people in other cultures that wear extensions. New York is filled with a lot of shops where Dominicans and Latinos wear extensions. My solution immediately, I said, you know, it would be great if they would come up with a program or a strategy or implement, not just how they have the schools with hair shops and different things of that nature to teach girls in beauty school how to do hair. Cosmetology school is what they call it. But it would be great if they would actually put into strategies in place where some of these cosmetology schools or some of these leaders, essential leaders, get together and say, hey, I'm going to actually implement a program or a strategy for white, black, Latino, Asian, Indian girls to come together of different races, African girls, girls of different races and cultures to come together to have fun, to learn about their hair, learn about each other's hair texture, how to do hair for fun, for learning experience and for fun. That way they can bring in their culture, learn about each other's different cultures, and become familiarized with their differences of each other's skin and hair and different things of that nature. That's what should be done. Not sit back and watch your children make fun of other children or place it in your children to do that. Those are biases. Those are biases, and it's wrong. It's also wrong for Google on Dr. Martin Luther King Day. I remember standing at Trevitt Elementary School in Columbus, Ohio, when I would walk from the third circle of Bolivar Arms in Trevitt Heights near Mount Vernon Avenue. Trevitt Elementary School was in the back of my, house when I was in third grade. It was a couple years before I even went off to the orphanage. And I would go to the bathroom and come out, and there was a silver circle where you put your foot on it and water popped out when you washed your hands. We call it, it was like a silver basin. I know those back in the day that we grew up, when I grew up, you remember those. Some schools still have them. And I went, Dr. Martin Luther King's mural was painted on the wall. It's still there because I went at age 26 and asked the principal if I could go. They had rebuilt the whole area around, but that school was still the same with the same mural. And I would stand in third grade and watch that mural. Didn't know why at the time. I would just stare. And I would read the words. And I wanted to know who Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was. They had taught us a little bit about him. I knew about him, but I wanted to know more in depth about him. Because it just goes also with slavery. We keep wounds opened with Band-Aids and we pour hot sauce on it. Every time Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day rolls around or any other day, and I'm going to put it on the table today because it's biased and it's creating strife like never before. I would stand and look at that mural in third grade and would look at it. And on it, it said, "I have a dream for little black and white boys to go to school together." His dream was that they can use the same bathroom, eat together, go to school together, live together. Tell me why Google on Dr. Martin Luther King Day only had colors up that represented people of other cultures. They didn't have lavender up. Since you all want to get into colors, they didn't have royal blue in there. They ain't have no other, all the colors. Come on now, they did. And they did it on purpose. There was no unity in that Google mural that they drew. None. I'm going to put it on the table. It is a fact that slavery was always about economics and money, and never about your color. Black Africans, listen, blacks, whites, Europeans, Africans, Indians, Asians, all owned slaves. And some of them owned slaves of their own people. They'll never tell you that because they want to keep this sorrowful cry going that it was just black people who were slaves. A big strife that they've created. Oh, Tara Caressa Hodges isn't going to tell you that. So we need to come to a point to where we get rid of the biases. So let me go back to Unity World Issues. So one, we must stay rooted and grounded in the truth of what God has to say about unity. Two, we must continue to walk in all nine of the fruits of the Spirit. I know that we are not perfect, but we must strive as fellow Christians, no matter what the color of our sin is, no matter what the color of our skin is, or church tradition, we must continue to unconditionally love one another. We all have a voice. Use it. Do not be afraid to speak in grace. Issues cannot be resolved if we are not transparent or honest with each other. Just as God moved in the Old Testament, He still moves the same way. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. We change. The adversary comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The cares of this world are a distraction for the matters of life to worsen in this world. We are the salt and the light of the earth. Do not let your salt grow stale or your light burn out. Keep the faith. Keep seeking God. Keep living holy. Keep loving unconditionally. Stay strong. Obedience is your anchor. Love never fails. If I speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter states, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 8. Now, verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Speak to your children. Explain, number four, speak to your children. Explain to them the events in a subjective manner and grace. Let's not worsen the problem by teaching them to hate. Teach your children biblically what to do if in any event of chaos ever arises in their city. Teach them the principles of God. Teach them peace. If God is leading you, speak out in your communities. There are so many concerns. Speak about them. Build a rapport between law enforcement and the community where you live. If you are a police officer and you're trying to do things, this is five. If you are a police officer and you're trying to do things ethically right, I commend you. You are loved in Christ, commend you. I don't know how you are surviving this season. It is hard enough as a Christian, let alone a Christian who is a police officer. And some of those police officers protect the churches every Sunday. Keep standing, I say to you, because God will allow you to be good fruit among any bad fruit. That's where we go with bad transferences again. You want to blame all police officers. I have a police officer in my family. My aunt, she lives in Long Beach, California. She's a police officer in Compton, California. Keep standing because God will allow you to be good fruit among any bad fruit. Always in life, I hear you, Lord, and that also deals with biases. Always in life, the small negative points are viewed as more magnified than a big range of good points. Somehow humanity just gravitates towards things in this life this way. I'm asking everyone who is listening to this podcast and radio airing, when they do listen to the radio published podcast and to the radio segment of this, that we will begin building a lifestyle where we magnify the positive over the negative. Many of today's issues and the pressing matters of unity need to be redefined, rewritten, and clarified in the United States Constitution. That's number six. Number six, many of today's issues and the pressing matters of unity need to be redefined, rewritten, and clarified in the United States Constitution. Immigration, black lives, and all of humanity matter. And I put that up on my Dr. Martin Luther King Day, Junior Day address of Happy Dr. Martin Luther King Day on Facebook. All lives matter. Blue lives, black lives, all president lives, everybody's lives, Republicans, Democrats, all of their lives. My life, your life, everyone's life matters. All of humanity matters. Number seven, lastly, when God comes back to establish his kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth, I'm almost certain that he is not going to look at what ethnic race or community was the best, but at how well each one of us ran our race and how well we implemented his plan from the Bible and how we were able to handle fellow man conflicts, world issues, and church fellowship. You are loved in Christ, and everybody needs to know that God loves everyone. So focusing on the good, what we need to do is focus on the good, which empowers you and community. We must intentionally dwell on biblical truths and cultivate the mind of Christ in our thought life daily. Obedience, walking in the fruits of the Spirit and using your gifts appropriately, along with humility and service, are steps you can take to express commitment to Jesus. With Christ, there is freedom for all. Our faith doesn't only thrive in community, it depends on it. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you will become fruitful. When it comes to judging others' actions, there is no perfect, impartial judge except for Jesus. The church, more than any other entity, has the ability to shape the culture of negative thinking and behaviors. In order to hear God's voice and follow His will for our lives, we must live in prayer, obedience, and service to His will with a right and positive mindset. God wants to free us from the eternal bondage that prevents us from becoming the person He created us to be. Impact on community first starts with, like I said before, the right mindset. And I like to consider right thinking or the right mindset for a Christian as right biblical thinking. The Christian is lining their thoughts up with the Word of God. Now that's obedience and good thinking that empowers that Christian and community. Community's connection in life with God, self, and others, which requires faithfulness in prayer, in obedience, prayer, humility, because we don't want to be so prideful, because God will bring low those who are prideful. So we don't want to be in a position where we're putting ourselves on a pedestal. We want to make sure that we are exhorting one another instead of doing that. So we're using, in order to stay in the place, I like to say stay in the blessing. How you stay in the blessing is using the fruits of the Spirit and walking, exercising the gifts from the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, along with obedience. So connection in life with God, self, and others requires faithfulness in obedience, prayer, humility, and service. And along with this, with the fruits of the Spirit and walking in the gifts, exercising the gifts of the Spirit appropriately, we are then, in extending grace to others and striving to walk in holiness, we are then able to effectively walk in negating biases and be able to help our church culture and communities grow and societies grow and ourselves even grow more graciously in God and more fully and holistically in a healthy way in God. Let God use every one of you to do this and to empower yourself and communities by focusing on the good. You are loved in Christ. For those who do not know Jesus Christ, I invite you in with me, in to say these words with me as you raise your hands. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Come into my life. Come into my life, heart. Come into my heart. I believe you are my Lord and Savior. Until next time, you are loved in Christ. And I said you are loved in Christ more than several times this time. I did it for a reason, because everyone needs to know you are loved by God. No matter who you are, no matter what place you are in life, no matter what walk you're in, God loves you. God loves me. God loves everybody, everyone. So hopefully this podcast has, I do my podcast raw and live. I do not have a producer cleaning them up, but they're still popular. So as I said, you are loved in Christ. So again, go to someone else. Ask them to invite Jesus Christ into their heart as well. Just say, ask them to raise their hand. Say those simple words. I invite you in to say with me, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Come into my heart. I believe you are my Lord and Savior. Next week's broadcast will be on